Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. This teaching is from the series Ancient Words, Living Faith. This year marks 1,700 years since the Council at Nicaea and the adoption of the Nicene Creed, which defined and shaped the Christian faith. Far from being ancient, irrelevant, lifeless words, this creed crystallized the essential teachings of Scripture and remains the vital foundation for a living faith in the modern world. We hope this series helps you understand these truths and apply God's Word in your life today.
Before I even read the text for today, I did want to note as well that we had the water baptisms today, but we already have someone else that's going to be baptized, I know, in January, and potentially some other folks. So we will be doing some other baptisms coming up in January. If you have never been water baptized and you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, we would love to talk with you about that. So please grab me afterwards. I'd love to sit down and have a cup of coffee, chat with you about what that means and just part of how we grow in our walk with Jesus. As I said, I'm going to be doing a briefer teaching today in light of everything else that's going on. And what I'm going to be teaching on, I've actually taught on extensively before. For those who are guests, and we have a lot of guests today here because of the baptisms and the ordination, this is the 1,700th anniversary of the Nicene Creed and Council. So a creed that Christians around the world throughout the ages have confessed, it's 1,700 years ago. So we just took a few weeks to go through this series that we've called Ancient Words, Living Faith, about how the faith that was once for all delivered is a living faith for us today. And we've been looking at various phrases in it. Today, I'm actually going to kind of expand on the article regarding the church and pointing out how we believe in the local church, that the one holy, universal, or Catholic and apostolic church finds its expression in local churches. And that's what we want to talk about today. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You can follow along in your Bible. It'll be up here on the screen. And it's also in the little welcome booklet that you got. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the living God. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Well, it's obviously a big day today. As I've been chatting with folks, you know, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening, and we really are excited about, you know, water baptisms with very different life stories that are happening. New members coming and becoming part of BRCC, and in just a few minutes when we ordain Warren as a new elder. All of that is a sign of the Holy Spirit's work today, but I want to remind us it's rooted in the ancient faith. It's rooted in what God has always been doing. And what that includes, as we saw last week, despite all of the flaws of the church, and I will begin by saying, because I'm going to be making a strong plea for us to be involved in local congregations, I am fully aware of all of the difficulties and problems in the church. This is what I do for a living. So I am fully well aware of the ways that we fall short, the ways that we can misrepresent God, we can be hypocrites, as I spoke about last week. All those things are true because we are human, and all human beings are subject to those things. But nonetheless, God has promised to be at work in his church. So that's what we want to talk about, and specifically the local church. Now, I'm going to begin by pointing out in the text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in just these first two verses, the Apostle Paul brings up two aspects of the church, and he's doing it because the group in Corinth was thinking that they were somehow so special, they were distinct from everyone else. So he begins by pointing out these two aspects of the church. And the first one is that there is one universal church. So notice Paul says that he's referencing all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And this is what we looked at last week in that one holy Catholic or universal and apostolic church. The universal church is the church that is in the Spirit. It is the church that is the bride of Christ. All those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord for salvation. There were other people this morning in other locations that were getting baptized in water because they are new followers of Jesus. All of us are part of the universal church. And this is primarily what the creed is referencing when it gives the following phrases, which we looked at last week, that we believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church, or some older translations of the creed, because it's coming from Greek and Latin, say, we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. And the word Catholic is not referencing a denomination. It is referencing, it's the word that means according to the whole, universal, that there is one universal Catholic church, not a denomination, not an organization, but the whole church throughout the entire world, and in fact, throughout all ages. We're not just linked with other Christians today who are in Annapolis or Maryland. We are linked with Christians throughout the world, and we're not just linked with Christians throughout the world who live today. We are linked in what is referenced sometimes as the communion of saints with all believers through all times, because what we have in common is that God in his mercy called us out of death into light, into life. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we share that in common with one another. And so membership in the universal church happens when I become a believer. There is no other step. We don't have a little, you know, like we welcomed the members here this morning, the new members. That happens the moment of my salvation. Notice how Paul references it. He says, all those who call everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. He's pointing out to the Corinthians, you've thought that you're somehow unique, but there are people throughout the world and you are united with them because you call on Christ for salvation and they call on Christ for salvation. And therefore, you are both part of the universal church. Every person who is willingly under the lordship of Jesus Christ by embracing the gospel is in the universal church. So what the scripture teaches, and I won't take time to unfold this morning, but the moment of salvation, when I am united to Christ by regeneration, by the work of the Holy Spirit, when I look to Jesus in faith, I'm united not only to Jesus Christ, I'm also united to all other believers. There is a union. That's why there is one church. There is a unity. And this is essential because the fact is people can become members of local churches and not really be a believer. And there are people who grow up in churches and they like going to church and they do things, but they have not really ultimately responded to the gospel. But there's only one way to be part of the one universal, holy, apostolic church, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way to become part of that. So before I move on to local church, which is the main focus, I do want to make this plea, and this is so, so important. If you have never looked to Jesus for salvation, I want to urge you to do so today. This is not about religion. I'm not honestly particularly religious, even though I make my job, my job is being pastor of a congregation. This is not about religion. This is about a recognition of who Jesus Christ is and a living, vital faith in him. And I urge you to look to Christ because no one can reconcile you to the Father who made you and who loves you other than Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Father. And I want to encourage you, part of what we're seeing and celebrating today is the Holy Spirit is at work, as he always is, but he's doing something special and new right now, calling people to Jesus. This has not been just happening here locally. This is actually happening in many, many places around the globe. There's talk of, some people are using the phrase, quiet revival, but God is at work drawing people into him. And he is here today. If you are here, he is calling you out of your hurt. He calls us out of our shame. He calls us out of our brokenness and out of our even successes to find life, to find acceptance, to find healing, to find meaning in Jesus Christ. And if you have never, ever found that before, I encourage you, look to him today. Grab me afterwards. I will stay as long as necessary to sit and talk to you about what this means. It is not. The good news is not about us. It's not about us individually or as a family. The good news is not about our congregation. The good news is about what Jesus Christ has done. Did you hear what all three of them in the waters of baptism were saying? It's about what Jesus has done for them. And so if you've never experienced that, I urge you, please do so today. The second aspect of the church then is the local church. So notice the Apostle Paul, I'm not just saying this is the second aspect, notice how he begins, to the church of God at Corinth, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called together to be holy. He's saying, yes, look, you've experienced what it means to be the called out ones. That's what the word church, I remind you, actually means, those who were called out. You've experienced that. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart by the Holy Spirit. That's true of you at Corinth. It's also true of all these people throughout the world. But notice he is saying there is a church of God in a particular location. In this case, Corinth, with all the problems that that congregation had, and if you've ever read the book of Corinthians, they've got a lot of problems. They got a lot of struggles that they're having, but Jesus is at work, and so Paul says there is this church in a particular location because the universal, invisible church finds expression in local, visible churches. These churches exist at a particular time and place. They're not spread out geographically, but they can be identified as the church that meets in a particular place at a particular time. The Apostle Paul writes about this as well in 1 Corinthians 16:19. So at the end of this letter, Paul is writing back to them, and he says this, "The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house." So notice Paul says, look, I've talked to you about the universal church, and I've written to you the church of Corinth, but I remind you, there are churches spread throughout the region of Asia, which if you go back and read the book of Acts, was where Paul was wanting to go do church planting when the Holy Spirit said no and sent him over to Greece, which led to the church at Corinth being planted. But Paul said there's all kinds of churches in Asia as well. And then notice he even says that there's a church that meets in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. It is a very specific congregation. It's not the church everywhere, it's the church that actually meets in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. Let me use a couple of examples today. When I was a young man at the Naval Academy and I graduated, I took an oath of office and I became a Marine. And the first thing that happened when I became a Marine is they gave me orders to a particular unit that I had to report to by a particular time, or else I was going to be referred to as unauthorized absence. Article 86, I was going to be in trouble. And I could not appeal if I did not show up and say, I'm in the Universal Marine Corps. I just kind of, you know, I let the spirit of the Corps move me to where I want to go. What would have happened if I would have said that? Doesn't work. There's also a thing called marriage, right? My wife's getting nervous. But see, I'm not universal husband. All the other ladies should be saying amen right now too, let me tell you. I'm a husband to a particular woman. I was not a universal father. I was a father to four particular children, and now a papa to 12 particular grandchildren. The idea that I'm just in the universal ethereal, what that really is I'm just saying I don't want to be held accountable. And it doesn't work that way in anything else in life. Any job you've ever had, any group you belong to, there is a specific commitment to that group that will meet at specific times and places where you'll have specific roles. And so this is true for every believer as well, and it is essential for a flourishing, healthy Christian life. It's also essential for the local church, because the local church only flourishes as the people who God has called into that church are there and are taking part and are loving and serving one another. You need the church, local church, and the local church needs you. Whether that calling is to this congregation, which it is for most of us, but there are folks here who are called to other congregations. And what I say is, be passionate about that and fulfill that calling. So because of this, this leads us to say we believe in the local church. The theme statement for this teaching is all Christians are called to be part of local churches. If you are a Christian, you're part of the universal church. You don't have to do anything. That is automatic. But we are called to be part of local churches. And notice, I've got highlighted there several words where we talk about praying together, serving one another, carrying out the Great Commission together. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the Christian life is lived out, is in the together and the one another. And I encourage you, if you just start reading the New Testament and start circling and underlining every time you read together, one another, those kind of phrases, you're going to find they are very, very common. They are all over the place. And what they assume ahead of time is that I am in a particular local congregation. It's easy for me to say, oh, I love serving my brothers and sisters in Christ. Those brothers and sisters in Southeast Asia, whenever I see them, I just serve them. That doesn't mean anything. It's actual brothers and sisters who have real needs that I am called to serve. And so the Spirit is working together. If you remember our text last week, it said that the Spirit was working to build us together into a temple. Again, if I use that analogy from the Scripture, I'm not just a brick that is out there laying around. God is actually building me into a specific part of the wall that is joined to be the one holy church. And so this is the call that we have. That's why we celebrate whenever we have new members. We are celebrating them. It's not because there's something special about our congregation. We don't want to be like what Corinth was being. We want to say, no, we're part of the universal church, but we are excited when God is bringing people into our local congregation because that makes us stronger as a church. It allows us to serve and love one another. Now, again, I will remind you, does local church membership have its challenges? If you've been a member of a local church for more than like 35 seconds, you know it does. Somebody will say something that is hurtful. People will fail you. Even leaders will fail you, even if they're trying not to. We all fall short because we are sinful. But let me say very clearly, we are better together. This is that Trinitarian unity that we've seen underlies the entire creed. God is one, but he eternally exists as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is so woven into our faith. We can't understand anything about the faith, and that means we can't understand the Christian life apart from that. There is a unity, but there is a multiplicity. And in that multiplicity is where we sinful beings have our problems. So I spoke a couple weeks ago, that's where we have our problems in marriage. It's also where we run into problems in the local church, is that people are different than we are. And that is precisely the point. You may remember later, Paul brings up the analogy because the Corinthians were valuing certain things. And he says, the church is like a body. And how many different parts of the body are there? Paul says, there's all these parts. And the problem is the hand wants to make the foot like the hand. But Paul says the body doesn't work if you do that. You need a hand. You need a foot. You need a mouth. You need ears. You need every body part to function in a healthy manner. So that's true for all of us. And then that brings us to the closing point here, which is part of being in a local church is that God calls elders in the local church. Part of our theme statement from today, and this is actually taken out of our catechism where we talk about these important ideas in the faith, and this is on ones in the church, is the following statement. All Christians are called to be part of local churches where they are led and cared for by elders. Now, why am I saying that? Maybe that's because I'm an elder and so I want to just say that. But it's not. It's because the scripture is clear that is an essential part of a healthy local church. Local churches in scripture are always, and if you're taking notes, you can bold, highlight, underline, and circle that. They are always led and cared for by elders. I'm going to just throw up three scriptures that show this. In the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas are out in virgin territory that has never heard the gospel. They are out proclaiming it for the first time, and they plant these churches, and then notice what they do in Acts 14, 23. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. They actually, if you look, they kind of went out and then they came back visiting the churches because there had been time and they said, okay, these are the men who were called to be elders, and they appointed elders. And notice, in each church. They didn't just say, well, there's elders down the road. If you're a church, you need elders in that local congregation. In Titus chapter 1, Paul has sent Titus back to Crete because they had just kind of blown by. And Paul says there's churches going there. God's at work. The Holy Spirit's drawing people to him. But as a result, we need to have some more mature believers who are there to encourage and strengthen and shepherd and care for the people. So he says, Titus, I left you in Crete so that you might straighten out what was left unfinished. And here's the very first thing. Appoint elders in every town. Every town where there's a church, I want you to go in and appoint elders because it's left unfinished until that happens. The church can't thrive. And then finally, in 1 Timothy 5:17, he's writing to Timothy, who's doing the same thing as Titus, except for he's working in a church that was already established, but they've had some problems. And Paul says to Timothy, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So, notice, this is a key distinction. There's lots of great groups. For years, I had a group that we'd get together once in a while. We called Theology on Tap. We'd get together and we would drink really good beer and have really good conversations about Jesus. It was a great group. Is it a church? No, it's not. Even though I can say, well, I'm an elder in a church, but it's not a church. We were just a group of guys who liked to get together and talk about Jesus, and we did it in the context of having beer. It could be anywhere where you can have that. Bible studies, they're wonderful things, but there is a distinction. In a church, God calls for there to be elders who are there to, as Paul says, to lead the congregation, to care for it, to shepherd. I'm not going to go into all the specifics because we spent a few weeks this summer when we were praying as to whether God was calling Warren to be an elder here. I talked for several weeks about what it means to be an elder. And I want to say the same thing regarding elders that I did regarding the local church. Are elders perfect? Amy, is Warren perfect? I'm putting her on the spot. You should see what Warren wrote that Amy said about him. It was amazing. Now, every wife can tell you the elders are not perfect. We fall short. That's not the point is not that they are perfect or that they are all right, always right, nor is the point even that they have some special status before God. I understand why people say this, but I sometimes have people come up and say, well, can you pray for me on this? Because I know you kind of, you know, God will really listen to you. Actually, not. I don't get into a theological argument at that moment. I'll just say, okay, I'll pray for you. But why do I have access to God to hear my prayers? because Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the Father and pleads for me and perfects my prayers and brings them before the Father. Elders do not have special status. I'm not trying to even critique other church things. And look, I've got friends who are referred to as Father, and I refer to them as Father when I'm in conversation with them because that's their title. But we don't take such titles here. Because we want to be very, very clear, we don't have special status before God. We do have responsibility before God, which we are told in the scripture, Warren's now about to come up in just a moment and put himself on the line that on judgment day, he is going to give account for how well he wants to do. Are you going to back out now? Yeah. What? I didn't hear anything about that. Elders are just men that God has called who've been walking in the faith for a while, and they have a heart to take care of God's people, to help them understand the word, to help them apply the word, to love and to care for the people of God. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get ready. And before I call Warren up, I want to again make an appeal to follow Jesus. The most important thing, it would be a shame if you came here and said, I remember that was like the coolest thing, man. They were dunking people in the water and all these people stood up front and said nice things. And then this guy came up and they prayed over him. If that doesn't lead you to following Jesus, it means nothing. Are you hearing the call of the Holy Spirit? Are you here at work? If you have never looked to Christ, I want to urge you with everything in me. Again, this is that God offers himself to you. What you are looking for is found in God, and it's not found anywhere else. I urge you to hear the call. You may also be here today as a Christian. You've looked to Jesus in faith, but you've never been baptized. Then I urge you, get baptized. You may be here today and be a believer who's been hurt. You may have even been hurt by a local church. I encourage you, hear the Spirit's call. He wants to heal that. He wants to call you out of that. He wants to encourage and help you. Hayden and I had a good time chatting that day because he's a physical trainer. You probably can see that. And you can't see it in me, but I like exercise and stuff too. So we were chatting about all that. And I can tell you from having had injuries throughout many years, when you get injured, the temptation is I want to just sit and not use it because it hurts when I use it. But is that a good path to healing? Every physical therapist, we've got some physical therapists here, they'll tell you that. If you do that, you're not going to heal. And so if you've been hurt in the past, hear the Spirit calling. He wants to heal you. He wants to encourage you and help you. And I also want to encourage you, if you are a believer, share the good news with others. Don't doubt that it is good news. And the Holy Spirit is at work, okay? God is working all around you. You never even know when it's your tattoo artist that's going to be part of bringing you to Jesus. Amen, Hayden? Amen. You have no idea who you're around and how God is at work around you. That's what was so encouraging chatting with him about as he's just coming into faith, is the different places and things and people who are sharing. God wants to use each and every one of us to do that. Be open. Look. Ask the Holy Spirit who you could reach out and share the good news with. Amen? With that, we are now going to move into ordaining Warren as an elder here at BRCC. So he's going to come forward. Warren, if you can grab the microphone over there, I'm going to put you to work. And we are going to do an ordination ceremony. And what we do, this is in some ways similar to like when we do a baby dedication. And what I mean by that is we're going to have, come on up. We're going to have Warren take some vows. This is a deeply biblical principle that we take vows and we say before God, I'm going to, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, I'm going to be empowered to do something. And then there's going to be a chance for the congregation to respond back, just like, again, we do, that we promise to support families as they're doing it. So we're going to have a thing. Go ahead and you got it on? Yep. You have anything you want to say before we start?
Just want to say I'm grateful to be here. Amy and I moved up to Annapolis not knowing a soul, and within a week we found our church. So I'm excited to be here, and I really want to get to know as many folks as possible. And I'm just here to serve you all. So I'm looking forward to meeting the folks that I don't know and deepening relationships that I currently have. So.
Amen. All right, Warren, I'm going to give you a series of vows, and you can respond that you agree to do these things by simply saying, I do. Do you vow that you believe the Scripture to be the inerrant Word of God, binding upon all believers for faith and practice?
I do.
Do you vow that by God's grace you'll be a man of the Word, studying hard to understand its doctrine, striving to apply it to your own life, and laboring to teach the whole counsel of God to this flock?
I do.
Do you vow that by God's grace you will live a godly life, actively embracing godly virtue and consciously striving to shun sin so that you may tell others, follow me as I follow Christ?
I do.
Do you vow that by God's grace you will set an example in your family life, loving your wife as Christ loved the church so that others may see Christ through your home?
I do.
Do you vow that by God's grace you will embrace your role as a shepherd of the flock, and that as a shepherd, you will feed, care for, protect, and equip the flock so that they may serve God as he calls them?
I do.
Do you vow that by God's grace, you will place the needs of others ahead of your own, laying down your life for the good of the flock, thus displaying the nature of Christ, the chief shepherd?
I do.
And finally, do you vow that by God's grace, you will serve in humility with the other elders of this congregation, always striving to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace?
I do.
Warren has made these vows to the church. Scripture speaks to us regarding our responsibility to leaders of the church. I'm going to read a couple of passages. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. So, to the members of Bay Ridge Christian Church, having had the opportunity to pray, seek God, and examine Warren's qualifications, and upon hearing his covenant vows, do you vow to embrace him as an elder in this congregation, receiving him as a leader, honoring him for his labor, and joyfully submitting to him along with the other elders? If you agree, please say, we do. Amen. I'm going to now read a charge to Warren, and then the other elders and wives are going to come up along with Amy, and we're going to pray for them. These are all scriptures that are spoken and are appropriate. So hear the word of the Lord. Warren, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Command and teach these things, setting an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Be a shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, serving as an overseer, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is the charge, and as Amy comes forward and the elders, I am going to go ahead and give a gift We've sometimes done this with computer software, but Warren said he's an old school guy. So this is just a study Bible that I've also written a note in the front, and it's on the date of his ordination. There's nothing special about this particular one other than a reminder that every time you see this, you are called to be a man of the Word. We live by the Word of God. So, Amy, if you want to come forward, and if the other elders and wives can come forward, we're going to pray for them and ask God to bless them. And then in just a couple moments, we will conclude by coming to the Lord's table. And I will say, this is part of the chain that goes back. Donnie and Myrtle and Tommy and Nellie were caring for me when I was 18 years old here as a midshipman. They were watching over me and keeping watch over my soul and did for many, many years, which is a great, great privilege to see that. We're here because folks have served like that faithfully, and Warren is joining in today. So we're going to pray. I want to come in, and anybody who wants to pray can pray for them. Why don't y'all step right up front?
Father, we raise Warren and Amy up to you this morning. Yes, Lord. Ask that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Ask that you would guide them, that you would guard them, that you would use them. Father, that they would benefit the members of your church gathered here at Bay Ridge Christian Church, and that, Father, they would be lifted up themselves as a result of the relationships they have with their family, their brothers and sisters here. Father, we recognize that we have one Father, one Spirit, and one elder brother. And we are grateful for that. We seek to serve you, and we just pray that they would be inspired to do so and directed and guided and provided for by your Spirit.
Father God, we thank you very much for Amy and Warren and their willingness to come forward and take on the responsibility, Father. And I just pray that you would be with them every step of the way, Father, that you would guide their steps. Give them extra wisdom, extra patience, extra time, Father. I thank you for them bringing their time and talents to our group of leadership and to our church, Father. And I just pray that they would be a blessing to us and we would be a blessing to them.
Father God, I thank you so much for providing them mm-hmm. to this church. Yes, Lord God, for bringing them. And I pray, Lord God, that they would remember that their relationship is number one. Mm-hmm. Or their relationship with you is number one. Their relationship with each other is number two. Mm-hmm. And then it's the church. Yes. Lord God, I pray that you would strengthen their marriage as they go forth. I pray that you would help them to see their just their lives in your view, Lord yes, God, Lord. And not in yes, in what they thought would happen, Lord mm-hmm. God.
You two are going off. Mess up someone where long. But it is only by the grace of God that we walk each day. Mm-hmm. You're not to be like any one of us, thank God. Mm-hmm. You've been called because of your talents, mm-hmm. because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Encourage you to be your person in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Use the talents that the Lord has given you.
Yes, Lord.
So that you can surely be a witness, an example of your talents,
yes, Lord,
your love, and your hope mm-hmm. to serve the Lord and this group of people that he's called Bay Ridge Christian Church,
yes, Lord,
who are very diverse, but they look for your leadership, they look for your talents,
yes, Lord,
and it is only going to be by the grace of God that you survive.
Yes, Lord.
But you got other elders and wives that have walk through this path, but it's mm-hmm. only by the grace of God that we each stand. Mm. We commend our love towards you, our faith for you, mm-hmm. our support for you. We want the very best for you.
Yes, Lord.
We've got your back, but the Lord's got all of our backs. By his grace, you shall be victorious mm-hmm. as you keep your hearts and minds on him and be what God has called you to be.
Yes, Lord.
And let the church see your talents.
Yes, Lord.
We commend you into Jesus' hands.
Yes, Lord. Father, we do thank you for Warren and Amy and the specific gifts that you have given to them. Lord, we pray that you would fill each of them individually with your Holy Spirit. Fill their home where they so often reach out and serve and invite others in. Lord, fill their home with your Holy Spirit. Father, and we pray that you would stir up gifts of the Holy Spirit within them that they might use to serve your congregation here, Lord Jesus, at this church, and your purposes in the kingdom throughout this region and area. Lord, we are grateful for them. Father, anoint them, fill them, and Lord, use them from this day forward in this new capacity. We ask you to do all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, for your glory and for our good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can grab your Bible here. Amen. Thank you. We are now actually going to come to the Lord's table together briefly, and we are grateful to be able to do this. We come to the Lord's table each week, and we do that again, not just out of a ritual, but because the Lord has promised to meet us at this table. It is a reminder of the gospel. And it is a way that the Holy Spirit works to feed us, to strengthen us in His grace. And so I want to encourage us all to come. If you're here and you're not a member of our congregation, you are still welcome, because this is not the table of Bay Ridge Christian Church. This is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has given to His whole church. So if you are a believer in Jesus and you understand the gospel, what we heard, Logan and Felicity and Hayden say, that their only hope of salvation is Jesus Christ and what He's done. If you believe that, then you're invited to the table. If you don't, then what I'd encourage you to do, let it pass, but then talk to me afterwards. I would love to talk with you more about why Jesus is our only hope and what He offers to us. So we are now going to come to the Lord's table. What I receive from the Lord, I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He'd given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way, after supper, He took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out so that your sins may be forgiven. Drink from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." The ushers are going to come forward to pass out the elements. As they pass them out, remember, you grab two cups. There's the bread and the juice in two cups that are right on top of one another. If you need gluten-free, let them know that. Let's just meditate on the goodness of God and how He is at work among us by the gospel and by the Spirit. And then we will come and take together momentarily. Father, you are the infinite, eternal, sovereign God of all. And yet you condescend to take personal notice and care of each one of us. You provide for our needs, you see our griefs, and you constantly reach out to draw us back to you. You gave your Son so that we might be saved. And through Him, we have been restored to our inheritance as your children and welcomed to your table as friends. Father, we take this bread not as a lifeless ritual, but an act of faith, freshly receiving your provision for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, take and eat. Lord, you are the infinite, eternal Son of God, but you became human for us and for our salvation. Though you were sinless, you willingly laid down your life for us, taking the punishment we were due and giving us all the covenant blessings of God. We take this cup, remembering your sacrifice and freshly receiving your provision for us. Brothers and sisters, take and drink. And we will conclude with prayer and a blessing from the Word of God. Lord, what a day of celebration today has been. Father, we rejoice with those who have been baptized. We give you thanks for new members in our congregation, and we are filled with gratitude for the provision of Warren as another elder. So, Lord, we are filled with boldness to ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there are any here who feel distant or who have wounds that have kept them away, I pray you would send your Holy Spirit even now to draw them, to give them healing. Father, I pray that you would press upon them by the Spirit how much you love them. Father, I pray you would fill each person and family with your Spirit so that we might walk closely with you each and every day. Father, I pray you would fill our congregation with your Spirit so that we might love you and serve your purposes here in this city and region that we love. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, we pray, on this city, on this county, on this region. We pray that you would draw many to Jesus and the abundant life that he gives. Father, hear our prayer and do these things. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, reigning now and through endless ages. And Lord, we ask that you would do all of these things in the name of our great Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory, for our good, now and forevermore. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brothers and sisters, through the work of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Go forth and be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. For more teachings and resources, please visit www.brcc.church.